While hardly a scandal, this background seems to have imposed a major inhibition. No Democratic nominee so entangled could easily confront the connections of the two oil sector Republicans, and despite some unusual openings, Gore held back. Those openings included a Bush political genealogy that on one side reached back to the controversial practices of Standard Oil in the Ohio of the 1900s, and on the other side, to Wall Street attempts to refurbish the post-World War I Soviet oil industry. Since Samuel S. Bush and George Herbert Walker a century ago, four generations of Bushes have worked in the oil business, the investment business, or both. I discussed this vocational embroilment and its presidential ramifications at length in my 2004 book, American Dynasty: Aristocracy, Fortune, and the Politics of Deceit in the House of Bush, so I will only make brief mention here. More than any other U.S. political family, the Bushes exemplify the interaction of oil interests, the financial sector, the military-industrial complex, and the intelligence community. They have represented, arguably, they have also helped bring together, the constituencies that the Republican National Coalition of the early 2000s has come to serve. First, however, we must lay an additional short track along which to follow the emergence of oil and its extraordinary relationship with both American foreign policy and the nation's intelligence community. Oil's unique role in U.S. foreign policy. By the time of the Civil War, oil had achieved a special relationship with Washington and its conduct of international relations. President Ulysses S. Grant, visiting in 1871, recalled for Pennsylvanians that the discovery and production of petroleum aided materially in supplying the sinews of war, and as a medium of foreign exchange, taking the place of cotton. With Southern commodities such as cotton unavailable for export markets, Abraham Lincoln's embattled government had counted on oil to procure foreign exchange and goods from European markets. Pennsylvania barrels, converted 42-gallon whiskey containers, filled in for Georgia bales. The war between the states was America's first war in which oil supplies became a target. In May 1863, 3,000 Confederate cavalry under General W.E. Jones raided the Burning Springs wells just outside of Parkersburg, West Virginia, and torched 150,000 gallons of the expensive, high-quality oil produced there. Such was the first flare of oil's strategic importance. John D. Rockefeller, in his 1909 Random Reminiscences of Men and Events, recalled, "One of our greatest helpers has been the State Department. Our ambassadors and ministers and consuls have aided to push our way into new markets in the utmost corners of the world." But he left out a key explanation for the government's interest. Standard Oil was the biggest U.S. company, putting 100 ships to sea, buying and selling oil in Latin America, Germany, and the Far East. It also operated a global intelligence system. By 1885, according to one historian, 70% of the Standard's business was overseas, and it had its own network of agents through the world and its own espionage service to forestall the initiatives of rival companies or governments. Moreover, by 1909, oil was transcending its market as kerosene, the large but humdrum U.S. export of the fuel lamp era. Instead, as Germany built a Berlin to Baghdad railway and British admirals verged on a massive upgrading of their battle fleets by conversion from coal-fired to petroleum-burning engines, oil was truly marching as to war. From Pennsylvania and Texas to Romania and the Russian Caucasus, petroleum resources were shaping up as the new fulcrums of great power rivalry. While the admirals and generals plotted, the importance of Standard, Royal Dutch, and the smaller-scale Anglo-Persian multiplied. The course of empire could be altered if added speed and maneuverability from new oil-fired engines could someday allow Britain's 15-inch gunned Queen Elizabeth-class super-dreadnoughts to trap the Kaiser's coal-burning squadrons, or by some reverse scenario. Far in the background was another possibility still barely considered. Were American dominance of international oil production to continue and harden, power itself could migrate across the Atlantic.